At Village Green Apothecary, they've created a unique free program called the Essentials of Healthy Living, or EHL for short. EHL helps you develop a customized plan to take the guesswork out of which supplements you need. Visit their Bethesda location at 5415 West Cedar Lane and check out their easy-to-use EHL display. You can get free information cards about your health needs, from chronic ailments to heart health, allergies, or dietary issues. You'll find EHL information.
Good morning and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green. We're here every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., so don't forget to tune in. If you are not by a radio, you can always log on to www.am1260.com and stream the show live for absolutely free. You can also go to any of our, you can go to www.myvillagegreen.com and log on to any of the previously recorded archive shows and listen to those for absolutely free. So we have a great show lined up for you today, as usual. Today we're going to be discussing some very interesting aspects of cardiovascular disease, some of the topics related to plaque formation, plaque regression. If you have any concerns about your heart health or about cardiovascular disease, we're going to cover a lot of wonderful information today. Of course, we have a great special guest. Dr. Joseph Lamb is the Director of Intramural Clinical Research at Medigenics. He's also board certified in both internal medicine and holistic medicine. Dr. Lamb completed his graduate education at the Medical College of Virginia in Richmond and his internal medicine residency at Presbyterian University of Pennsylvania Medical Center in Philadelphia. He completed 1 year of a cardiology fellowship at the University of Colorado Health Science Center. Dr. Lamb is the past president of the Integrative Medicine Works in Alexandria, Virginia, so he was local for us for a while, where he worked in partnership with his patients to create optimal health and well-being by using functional medicine approaches, including lifestyle modification, herbal and nutritional therapies, and cognitive therapy approaches. He is an assistant clinical professor of medicine at GW University School of Medicine. He's also an adjunct faculty member of the Institute for Functional Medicine in Gig Harbor, Washington, where he resides now. He's the president of the Commonwealth Consultants Foundation, a regionally recognized Middle Atlantic charity chartered to provide unique educational and social experiences for economically deserving children and young adults. He's edited several books, authored several chapters in some very good textbooks like the Textbooks of Functional Medicine, and co-authored several academic papers and authored website presentations on a variety of functional medicine topics. Dr. Lamb, that is an impressive resume. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Well, it's wonderful being with you this morning, and gee, I didn't expect you to read that whole thing. Thank you.
Well, there's a lot of good things in there, and I want people to know that we have a great special guest on today. So,
thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about some cardiovascular disease issues, and I know some of the exciting research that you're engaged in right now has to do with cardiovascular health and something called endothelial function and endothelial dysfunction. I think it's important for our listeners to kind of understand the process of why a plaque forms. A lot of people hear about plaques, or maybe they get a carotid artery scan at a screening and they're told that they have some plaque formation, or they start to experience some chest pain and go to their doctor, and after some echocardiograms or some other diagnostic workups are told that they have a blockage or a plaque. Everybody is terrified of getting plaques, of course, because that's the foundation of heart disease. But maybe you can explain to our listeners a little bit about how that process starts, why it happens, and maybe a little bit about the anatomy of our blood vessels and how that's related to the whole process.
Great. So let's start with the anatomy. You know, a blood vessel, you know, it's when you're thinking about the size of a blood vessel, in general, they're pretty small. When you think about a coronary artery, one of the arteries running around the outside of the heart, for example, they may only be 3 to 4 millimeters, maybe up to 5 millimeters in size. So that's about a quarter of an inch at the maximum. So that's pretty small to look at. But if you section that vessel and take a look at it, you cut it crosswise and look down the length of it, you start seeing that there are different levels. Particularly if you do this with a microscope, you would see that there are different levels inside. And to see the innermost level, you'd absolutely have to use a microscope because it's only one cell thick, just one cell. It's a layer of cells spread out as like a wrapping. down the inner layer of the blood vessel. And that those are called endothelial cells. Endothelial cells are lining cells. We have endothelial cells in our mouth. We have endothelial cells in our gut. We have them in all sorts of places. In general, they have a barrier function. So there's this endothelial cell layer that runs right down the inside of the vessel. And right behind that is kind of a tissue layer with a little bit of cells, a little bit of connective tissue, extracellular matrix. That's where the plaques actually form, within that layer. And then below that is the muscular layer, which is what allows the blood vessel to contract or dilate. Because what we do is we actually control how much blood flows into an organ or to our skin or to our brain or anywhere really by the size of our blood vessels. Yes, our heart pumps harder when we're exercising so that there's more blood flow to go to places. But like when we're exercising and using our arms and not our legs, our blood vessels in our arms will dilate to let more blood come down. And that is something that is one of the earliest things that goes wrong in cardiovascular disease. Even before plaques form, what we find that one of the earliest changes is that the blood vessels don't dilate appropriately. And that comes about because there are changes taking place in that endothelial layer, those innermost cells, and how they regulate the messages that they produce, that they send to the muscle. They sense how much blood is flowing past them. They sense a number of different messages from the chemical environment around them. And they decide to a certain extent how much to dilate. And they send a message, which is just nitric oxide, just one nitrogen atom and one oxygen atom put together, that flows through the cell layers to the muscles and tells them to relax or constrict. And so that's the basic functioning that takes place. So we've got, in normal conditions, cells that sense how much blood's flowing by, how much oxygen's in that blood, how much carbon dioxide's in that blood, and they make decisions about how much blood needs to be going downstream. And so they make decisions about how much to constrict or dilate. What happens with atherosclerosis, or the formation of the plaque, as you were talking about, is that there's an accumulation of cholesterol, the bad kind of cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol, within that layer right under the endothelial lining. It gets through the gaps between the endothelial cells. That may be because there's been a little bit of damage to the endothelial cells. That may be because there's been a little inflammation. But it gets through, the cholesterol does, into that layer right under the endothelial cells, and it starts building up there. And one of the things that happens, and you know, I think in the past your listeners have probably heard the word oxidative stress, but when we eat the wrong things, when we have the wrong metabolism, we create problems with oxidation. It's almost like the body is rusting. And the treatment for that, obviously, is what we always talk about a lot, our antioxidants. And when there's enough antioxidant potential, what goes on is that LDL kind of gets resolved, may get picked up, and may get taken away. But if there's a lot of oxidative stress, the LDL gets oxidized, and it becomes a very potent inflaming messenger molecule. And it starts telling white blood cells to congregate. It starts telling the body that there's something going on here that we don't like. And suddenly you have kind of this feed-forward process that if you have too much cholesterol in the blood and too much inflammation going on, that you have this ongoing process. And that's when the plaques form right under that layer of endothelial cells. And plaque formation is a slow, gradual process that can build up, but can also regress. So under the right conditions, you can make those plaques slowly go away. What happens when we get to the point that the plaque is inflamed and the vessel wall is not responding the way it should, in some way the endothelial lining cracks, whether it's because there was too much stretch or because there was too much inflammation, and that endothelial lining cracks. And what's there between the endothelial lining, that whole collection of white blood cells and cholesterol molecules and a type of white blood cell called a macrophage, which sucks up so much cholesterol and fat that it almost looks like a sponge if you look at it under a microscope, called a foam cell because it's foamy inside with all these pockets of fat. That whole mass, when exposed to the bloodstream, goes, we're trouble. And the bloodstream looks at this and looks at the crack in the endothelial lining, just like we would look at a crack in our skin. And platelets start coming together. We start trying to close that break in the vessel wall, just like we would a cut on our surface of our skin. Platelets come together, fibrin and other proteins come together, and suddenly we now have a clot forming. And so that's why sometimes you'll hear, you know, your doctor talking about a clot forming over top of the plaque, because what's happened is the plaque has ruptured, has become unstable, and then the clot forms. And when the clot forms in a blood vessel, and, you know, as we said, some of these blood vessels are quite small, when the clot forms, what has been a slow, gradual process of forming plaques suddenly becomes an accelerated process. It can take years for plaques to become significant, but it can take seconds to minutes for a clot to completely obstruct a vessel.
Wow. Well, that was a fantastic description of the process of developing a plaque in cardiovascular disease. Thank you so much for explaining that to the listeners. When we come back from the break, we're going to be discussing some very specific risk factors that affect the potential of your body to form these plaques and to form these clots. And we're going to be talking about some things that you can do to obviously prevent that from happening. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passera with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260. We're going to be back right after this break.
There are trillions of cells in your body. When they are well nourished, they support energy levels, stress response, and all major organ systems. Quality whole foods contain intelligent, bioavailable nutrients. This intelligence cannot be mimicked by isolated fractions of vitamins and minerals alone. Choose a Megafood Cold Fusion food state or food-based formula and experience the true quality of radiant health. For more information, call 800-848-2542.
Bridging the gap between naturaceuticals and pharmaceuticals, that's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulas, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow-affecting treatments. Ask your functional medicine consultant for complete details. For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Are you one of the 100 million Americans who suffer from digestive difficulties? Often poor digestion is caused by an imbalance in the intestinal bacteria. The solution for enhanced digestion, enhanced health, and enhanced immunity is Gerodophilus EPS. Gero's enhanced probiotic system is enteric-coated and able to deliver up to 200 times more of its 8 strains of beneficial bacteria directly to the intestines in a vegetarian capsule. Ask for Gerodophilus EPS at your local health food store or go to Gero.com. That's J-A-R-R-O-W for the best in probiotic supplements.
You've been listening to the Essentials of Healthy Living show, so isn't it time you visited the store that brought you this great program? At Village Green Apothecary, you can find all the products you need to support your healthy lifestyle. They have just what you need for a healthier lifestyle, from vitamins and minerals to body care products and books. Best of all, they'll give you the kind of personalized service you just won't get at a chain drugstore. Visit them at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or call 301-530-0800.
Good morning and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green. Don't forget, we're here every Thursday from 9 to 10 a.m., so don't forget to tune in. If you're just tuning into the show right now and you'd like to listen to it in its entirety or listen to any of our previous shows in their entirety for absolutely free, you can go to www.myvillagegreen.com and click on the archive section. It's a wonderful resource of almost 3 years of fantastic radio shows for you. So please take advantage of that. Today, we've been discussing some aspects related to cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular dysfunction. My special guest, Dr. Joseph Lamb, medical doctor and researcher for Metagenics, is on the phone with us and just did a beautiful job in the last segment of explaining to us the process of plaque formation and the anatomy of a blood vessel, really some great information. So in this segment, I'm going to let him cover some very interesting topics related to risk factors. So if you're someone out there and you're wondering or worrying about your risks for cardiovascular or heart disease or a family member's risk factors, we're going to cover all of the major basics related to risk factors right now. So Dr. Lamb, without further ado, maybe you can talk about this a little bit.
Great. Well, I think the first thing that we should talk about when we talk about risk factors is to think about what the chances are of getting cardiovascular disease. And considering that cardiovascular disease, heart disease, and kind of the cardiovascular disease that affects our brains, like stroke or blood clots to the brain, when you think about the fact that it's the number one killer of Americans, and when you lump those two together, and that it accounts for about 40% of the deaths in America each year. And unfortunately for the rest of the world, as they Americanize with the Western diet, their numbers are going up too. As you look at this percentage, most of us are going to be at risk at some point in our life for having some sort of cardiovascular disease. And the take home is, from the work that we've been doing and others have been doing, is that even before the cholesterol plaque gets there, you start having changes in the endothelial lining of your cell. And those cells don't function the way they should, and the blood vessels don't relax the way they should. So really, cardiovascular disease is something that we should all be thinking about and paying attention to from the point of prevention, healthy diet, good exercise, good mind, body, spirit practices to keep us on track.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing huge increases in the rates of childhood obesity. And, you know, we're understanding now that this does put people at significant risk when they're dealing with obesity at young ages. I mean, this is the prevention of heart disease starts extremely early.
Right. Even back in the 1960s, when they were doing the autopsy studies of dead soldiers from the Vietnam War, they were finding fatty streaks, the earliest type of plaques in the big blood vessel called the aorta, in these young soldiers who had died in Vietnam, in a significant proportion of them. And that problem, as you said, is only going to have gotten worse. The classic risk factors, which have been identified through the Framingham program in the past, and indeed adds up to a score called the Framingham score, is age. So, you know, if you're over 45 as a male or over 55 as a woman, blood pressure. Classically, that's been called like 130 over 80 or 130 over 85 for elevated blood pressure. But now we're thinking that anything above 110 over 70 is less than optimum, and you're on your way to developing blood pressure or high blood pressure if it's above that. Diabetes, but I would also say that we should really be thinking about, as you said, the obese insulin-resistant person, the obese insulin-resistant teenager, smoking, total cholesterol, and the HDL cholesterol, the proportion of the cholesterol that's the good cholesterol. Those have been kind of the classic risk factors that we've used to assess risk, called the Framingham risk score. Recently, there's been a lot of attention in the last couple of years to expanding that, because as we talked about during the last segment, we talked about the role that inflammation plays, and that classic risk score doesn't really have a marker for inflammation. And there's a new score called the Reynolds risk score, and you can simply go to, if you're interested, you can go to the website www.reynoldsriskscore.org and calculate your own risk if you have your cholesterol numbers, and one additional simple blood test called HSCRP, which stands for high sensitivity C-reactive protein, which is a protein made by the liver when the body is sensing inflammation. So it becomes a really good marker for that early inflammatory change that may be going on in the vessel.
And we're really starting to understand about hsCRP being a very significant independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease. And the more we learn about it, the more we're really seeing that come to light. And I think it's important for people to note how important it is if they're interested in getting this information from their doctor and getting one of these tests done, you really need to be specific in asking for the HS C-reactive protein, which stands for the highly sensitive, versus the just general C-reactive protein, which, Dr. Lamb, as you know, is more of a marker for inflammation body-wide versus the HS one is more specific to the blood vessels.
Right. Absolutely. It cholesterol has received through the years the kind of, boy, it's cholesterol which really tells me whether I'm going to have a heart attack or not. Because we've, for a lot of years, going back to the 1930s, a lot of the early physiology was based upon cholesterol leading to the buildup of plaques. And in a rabbit animal studies way back when, they fed a rabbits a diet very high in cholesterol, and they ended up with all these plaques. Well, rabbits in general have a different physiology than ours and handle cholesterol differently than ours. And because of that, it looked like this just cholesterol that was being deposited in the vessels and in the walls of the rabbit looked like it was the main culprit. And in the last 20 to 25 years, we've really come to the identification of needing to recognize that inflammation plays a role. For example, in the Women's Heart Study, if you look at total cholesterol numbers, if your total cholesterol was elevated, it was only you were only at a twofold risk for developing heart disease compared to baseline. But if your hsCRP was elevated, you were nearly at a fourfold risk. And if your hsCRP and total cholesterol to HDL ratio were elevated, it was approximately a fivefold increased risk. So that adding in that hsCRP gave a lot of extra information about what was going on. And, you know, referencing the Women's Heart Study brings up a really important piece, which is that, you know, coronary artery disease and the classic presentations of what we think disease looks like differs from men and women. You know, we've all heard that a heart attack is a heavy pressure feeling in the middle of the heart, pain radiating maybe down one of the arms and in particular down the left arm, associated with some sweatiness, some shortness of breath, maybe some discomfort in the jaw, those sorts of symptoms, maybe some nausea. But the presentations can be quite different. And when you're thinking about these differences, you really need to start thinking about the fact that presentations look a little bit different. And what's really interesting is that in women, their presentations are different because they don't have that same burden of obstruction in their vessels. It almost looks like they have problems in the smaller vessels, not the big vessels that are called conductance vessels, where a lot of blood flows through them, like the big coronary arteries, but the small little vessels which penetrate into the muscle. And it leads to different rates of blockages in those big vessels. So we've for years thought, well, women don't have the same risk or the same problems with ischemic heart disease. But what we're recognizing now is that they have more symptoms and they actually have worse outcomes because what's going on in those little small vessels, what we call microvasculature, leads to problems. So women are just as much at a risk for all of this as men are.
Yeah, definitely something very important to take into consideration. So the Reynolds risk factor score is a great way if you're wondering what your risk factors might be. You know, other things that it takes into consideration, we talked about gender, age, smoking, blood pressure levels, your total cholesterol, your HDL cholesterol, the HSC reactive protein, and of course, we can't forget about paternal history or family history, always something very important to consider. So if you had a mother or father, particularly a same-sex mother or father that had a heart attack before the age of 60, that definitely significantly increases your risk. So all very interesting things to look at. So when we come back from the break, We're going to be discussing some other aspects related to risk factors, some specific nutrients that are related to increasing risk factors. And we're going to be talking about some other very exciting topics related to heart health and cardiovascular disease. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this break.
Ever wish you had a healthy living coach? Well, you do. Village Green Apothecary has 45 trained professionals who are here to help you, including pharmacist, nutritionist, an herbalist, and naturopath. They take the time to really know you and give you a customized solution to your healthcare needs. From vitamins and minerals to compounded prescriptions, they have the personalized answers you need to create your healthy lifestyle. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or call 301-530-0800.
Did you know the average American consumes 135 pounds of sugar a year? Get the lowdown on sugar and the natural support of GlucoCare from Himalaya Herbal Healthcare. GlucoCare has been clinically proven to maintain blood sugar levels within normal range. It also supports normal triglycerides and cholesterol levels in normally functioning cells of the pancreas. Get the lowdown on sugar and reach for all natural GlucoCare by Himalaya Herbal Healthcare, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Overwhelmed, overstressed, overworked, overeating, overindulging. Tis the season to overdo. Protect yourself and your family with TwinLab Immunity Booster, Multivitamins, and Stress B Complex. TwinLab vitamins and minerals can help your family stay healthy, even when they're not acting healthy. Protect your family with TwinLab, the most trusted name in vitamins. TwinLab vitamins are available at all Better Health and Natural Food stores.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is hot plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, developed by Chris Killam, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants from the Science of Enzymatic Therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Isn't it time you visited Village Green Apothecary? They've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years, and they still take the time to really know each of their customers and provide individualized attention and personalized service. With over 10,000 products in stock, they have just what you need for a healthier lifestyle, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products and health-related books. Visit them at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or call 301-530-0800.
Good morning and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We are here every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. bringing you lots of great information about health and wellness. So don't forget to tune in every week. If you can't tune in each week, you can always go to www.myvillagegreen.com and click on the archive show link and listen to any previous show archived there for absolutely free. It is a wonderful resource. Don't forget, the Village Green Apothecary is located right here in Bethesda, Maryland. They've been offering people solutions for health and wellness needs for over 40 years here in the community. They have a wonderful selection, over 10,000 different health and wellness products, everything from vitamins and herbs and supplements all the way to shampoos and beauty and skincare products, all, of course, being all natural. There was a study that I just came across this morning when I was looking over some stuff for the show. European study showing that the average woman puts up to 515 chemicals on her face every day contained in her beauty products, soaps, shampoos, that type of stuff. So there's a lot of really wonderful products out on the market that avoid all of those contaminants. We also have a wonderful pharmacy coming on in to get any prescription refilled. They take all major insurances. And of course, we have our wonderful compounding pharmacy that specializes in doing things like bioidentical hormones and making custom vitamin and nutritional products for people's individual needs. So if you've never been there, they're located over on West Cedar Lane across from NIH. It is a wonderful resource. Very lucky to have them in the community. People usually aren't disappointed in their experience when they head on in. So today we're going to pick up our conversation with Dr. Joseph Lamb, a medical doctor and director of research for Metagenics. And we're talking about cardiovascular disease and heart health. In the last segment, we were reviewing issues around risk factors, and we talked about a lot of the traditional risk factors, things like cholesterol levels, blood pressure levels, gender, smoking. Talked a lot about the issues with risk factors. In this segment, we're going to be talking about some other, maybe we should could call them, Dr. Lamb, functional risk factors. These are things related to nutrient status. These are things that you can do something about in regards regards to supplementation that we research has shown may significantly reduce your risk factors. So, Dr. Lamb, without further ado, I'll let you sort of introduce some of these different very important nutrients to consider and how they affect the risk factors related to the development of heart and cardiovascular disease.
Great. Well, you know, we've alluded to this earlier in the show, but diet, exercise, and mind-body skills should be the basis for taking care of yourself. And one of the things that comes out of diet is getting some of the basic nutrients. And two of the ones that I want to talk about in this next segment are the omega-3 fatty acids, the fish oils, and also folic acid. And then niacin as well, which is one of the B vitamins, so I guess three. But really two do we receive in significant doses in our diet if we're careful. You know, the omega-3 fatty acids are kind of an unsaturated fat that we get in that plays an important role in how flexible our membranes of our cells are. So that's going to contribute to how healthy that endothelial layer is inside our blood vessels, as well as the endothelial layers within many of our blood cells. And the balanced against the omega-3 fatty acids are omega-6 fatty acids. They're the fats that we get that come from animal proteins. They come from corn, for example. When we started feeding cattle corn instead of feeding cattle grasses, cattle ended up with more and more omega-6 fatty acids in them.
Indeed, it's unbelievable. I think the average American is, it was some statistic, 60 to 80% of us is made up of corn because corn is so pervasive in our food chain. Everything from the packaging of the foods to the sweeteners like the high fructose corn syrup to the fact that there's lots of corn-based proteins and corn-based fatty acids in the meat that we eat because all the animals are fed corn. It is unbelievable how much corn is a part of our food chain.
Right. And coming along with that is a as an aside, is a pesticide called atrazine, which is sprayed on the corn. Well, actually, I guess it's an herbicide. And it's sprayed on the corn, and it's directly related in observational studies. Levels of atrazine in the community are related to the development of obesity. And beyond just the impact of the omega-6s that we're getting from corn, we get all sorts of other things with them. So people have clearly shown in lots of studies that having more omega-3 fatty acids play an important role in reducing the risk for cardiovascular disease. So a simple blood test can be done these days where even a drop of blood, like from a glucometer, could be put on a piece of filter paper and then sent off to the lab, or just a regular blood sample sent off to the lab, and they can do what's called an omega-3 index. And so they can essentially see what percentage of your blood cells in the membrane, what percentage of the fats in the membrane of your blood cells are omega-3 versus the total amount that should be there.
Right, and so there's a very specific ratio that's associated with better health outcomes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Because it's been shown, for example, that above 8% of omega-3 fatty acid index, that's the desirable range. And less than 4% the undesirable range. And the average American falls just under the 4%. So we're not getting enough omega-3 fatty acid.
And it totally makes sense. If you think about where omega-3 fatty acids come from, you can see why the average American population is so incredibly deficient, right? I mean, where are you going to get it from? You're going to get it from wild cold water fish, right?
Right.
Things like salmon. Now, some people say, well, I might eat salmon regularly. I go out for sushi or whatever, you know, they're buying salmon from the grocery store, but they're assuming that salmon is a wild raised salmon. Farm raised salmon don't have the omega-3s that wild salmon would have.
Where
else are we going to get omega-3s? Maybe from game animals, right? Like animals that have been eating and feeding on mainly grass, but all of the animals that we eat are fed grain. So unless you're really being conscious about eating foods high in omega-3s or supplementing with omega-3s, it is very likely that you're going to have a diet or on a blood test these ratios that are not going to be optimal, you know, for omega-3 health.
Right. Absolutely. And if you happen to have a 3% index, so only 3% of your cell membrane fats in your blood vessels are omega-3 fatty acids, you're at a greatly increased risk for sudden death, cardiac arrest, or dying with heart disease. And if you reduce that,
get your percentage up.
Right, exactly. Thank you for that. If you get to reduce that risk by 90%, all you have to do is get your percentage above 8.2%.
So 90% reduction in risk of sudden death or cardiovascular event by getting your ratio from 3% to above 8%?
Yes.
Wow.
And that is something that, you know, we don't pay enough attention to these days in terms of omega-3 fatty acids. Many of us are learning, hey, let's get our omega-3 fatty acids. Let's get them in. But what we're recognizing is that we may not be getting enough. The kind we may be taking may not be bioavailable, meaning we take it in our mouth, it goes through our gut, but we don't absorb it well. And then the other thing to really think about, and this speaks to a quality source for getting your products, like Village Green Apothecary, is you want to go someplace where they're selling products that aren't tainted. You know, there's some studies, for example, done that show that if mercury levels are high, then protection from omega-3 fatty acids are decreased. And so you can imagine that if you happen to be eating fish that had a high mercury content, it would offset the benefit that you would be getting from getting the omega-3 fatty acids. So certainly if you're buying a fish oil, you want to buy it from a company that you know does the work to make sure that there aren't any toxic elements, any heavy metals in there, any pesticides that would be adding to your problems when you thought you were taking care of yourself.
Absolutely. So I know some of these tests measuring that you just talked about are relatively new. You know, if people are interested in getting any of these tests to measure their omega-3 percentage rates, they could maybe leave a message for me at the Village Green or stop in and have somebody pass a message along, and we can get you the resources and information necessary to get these tests, because they may not be a test that you could just walk into your doctor's office and ask for at this point. Isn't that true?
That's true. Yeah. There's some very complex testing that's done more routinely, but the omega-3 index, the omega quant is less available, but we can talk about some resources offline and then you can pass them on to people.
That sounds great.
You know, very quickly, touching upon folic acid, you know, folic acid has gotten some attention back and forth because of its role in homocysteine. Some of your listeners may have heard about homocysteine. It's a buildup molecule as part of the folic acid cycle in our bodies that plays a role in perhaps being a risk factor. And there's a lot of debate about whether it's a strong risk factor or a weak risk factor for the development of heart disease. But one of the take-homes about folic acid that should be noted is that maybe it's not really the homocysteine. Homocysteine may be more of a marker for what's going on than the actual issue itself. And what may be going on in the folic acid cycle is interaction with tetrahydrobiopterin and with the folic acid. And if there's inappropriate cycling of this molecule called tetrahydrobiopterin, then the nitric oxide synthase, those enzymes inside those endothelial lining cells, don't work right. And when they don't work right, instead of making nitric oxide, which is a message to relax, they end up making various compounds that are actually oxidated compounds that create oxidative stress and put strain on the body. So you know, the picture's a little bit more complicated than just a high homocysteine means more folic acid. And it's for, you know, practitioners who spend time looking at this, the field's evolving. But knowing that we give people good folic acid, knowing that we provide antioxidant support, that adds up to cardioprotection. And then I bet we're almost out of time, aren't we?
No, we can go a little bit longer. Let's talk about this last nutrient before we take a break.
Great. Niacin is one of the B vitamins, and classically, niacin has been talked about for a long, long time as a compound, and there's all sorts of different forms of it that we use to reduce triglycerides and help raise HDL, help bring the good cholesterol up, because studies have really shown that that's really important too, having lots of the good cholesterol, not just the low bad cholesterol, but having lots of the good cholesterol leads to having a better profile. And niacin works. One of the drawbacks to niacin, however, is that it causes people to flush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take 100 milligrams of niacin, and most people are going to get some flushing. They're going to kind of feel warm all over. They may get a little sweaty. Some people get a little gastrointestinal symptoms, a little nausea, maybe a little diarrhea. And, you know, obviously that's not something we're going to want to take and feel that way. So what's happened over time is extended release forms and timed release forms have evolved, and the time release form is actually a prescription which your doctor can prescribe for you, and the extended release forms are ones that you can buy over the counter in many of our you know, local sources like the Village Green Apothecary. They work well. They've really been shown, for example, to be a great add-on to the statin drugs, better, for example, than some of the new pharmacologic agents like Estimibe, which has been shown not to be such a great add-on. And but one of the take-homes is that if you're taking an extended release form, you should really stay below 2,000 milligrams a day, and you need to pay attention to your liver function tests.
Right. So make sure that you're checking in with your doctor, because you can get some aspects of liver stress, just like you get with statin medications and, you know, some other things. It can put a little bit of extra burden on the liver. So you want to make sure that your doctor's monitoring your liver enzymes to make sure that you're not having a problem with that.
Absolutely.
Yep. So it can be a very valuable strategy. You're saying make sure to stay under 2,000 milligrams a day, correct? Under 2 grams
right.
a day, and have your doctor check in on it, which I think is a very, very good, responsible plan. So those are three fantastic nutrients that are people need to consider. Fish oil, definitely. You guys have heard me talk about fish oil. We've had so many shows related to the health benefits of omega-3 fatty acids, and this is just another one. And there really, as Dr. Lamb pointed out, some very significant research pointing to the right amounts and the right ratios of fish oil in your body, significantly reducing aspects related to sudden death and cardiovascular disease. Very important nutrient. Folic acid, and as he just covered, niacin. So three definitely power nutrients for reducing cardiovascular risk. So we're going to take a quick break. That was a great segment. When we come back, we're going to be wrapping up this topic on risk factors and prevention for heart and cardiovascular disease. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260, brought to you by The Village Green. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this break.
Since 1973, Megafood has been providing supplements which harness the power of phytonutrient-rich whole foods. For optimum nutrition and true vitality, we need foods which have not been damaged by heat. Megafood's state-of-the-art cold fusion process naturally protects the delicate phytonutrients present in whole food. Supplement daily with an easy-to-digest Megafood formula and enjoy the best that food has to offer. For information, call 800-848-2542.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of FitFood, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and much more. Each delicious serving of FitFood contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber, immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. FitFood provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com, available now through your healthcare professional at Village Green Apothecary. All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
CoQ10 is a powerful antioxidant that supports heart function, energy production, immune response, and protects against damage from free radicals. Aging reduces our ability to absorb CoQ10 from our diet, and taking a highly absorbable CoQ10 supplement is key to ensuring optimal levels within the body. So don't just settle for any CoQ10 supplement. Ask specifically for Gero Formula's QH Absorb at Village Green Apothecary. Or for more information on QH Absorb, go to Gero.com. That's Jarrow for the best in highly absorbable, bioavailable CoQ10 supplements.
Good morning and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260. Brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful guest, Dana Lake, will return next week with another exciting show related to health and wellness. Don't forget to tune in every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. So we're here every Thursday. Today, we're just wrapping up a great show on cardiovascular disease, talking about risk factors, talking about prevention, talking a lot and explaining about the process of why and how plaques form. Got a wonderful special guest, Dr. Joseph Lamb, Medical Director and Director of Intramural Clinical Research at Metagenics, has been here with us today. And in this last segment, he's going to talk about some of the exciting research he's been up to and how that may shed some wonderful, interesting light on therapies and treatment and other aspects related to heart disease and cardiovascular disease. First, I think you wanted to mention one other risk factor that we maybe didn't touch on in the show. So why don't you go ahead and do that, Dr. Lamb?
Great. So there's another condition that most of you probably heard about called metabolic syndrome, which is not only a risk factor for the development of coronary artery disease, but it's a risk factor for the development of diabetes. And it takes into account some of the features that we've already talked about, but adds in an important one, which is obesity and the fat around the waist, you know, visceral obesity, kind of the not the fat that you can pinch, which we call our subcutaneous fat or the fat right under the skin, but the visceral fat, the stuff that's actually within our abdominal lining, because it plays an important role in being really inflammatory. So metabolic syndromes, having high blood pressure, high blood sugar, having a large waist circumference above 35 for a woman or above 40 for a man, having elevated triglycerides, and having a low HDL cholesterol. So that's this constellation of pattern that we're seeing in more and more people. You know, we all know some people who are overweight, who are obese, who seem to kind of scoot by without getting the diseases like cardiovascular disease or diabetes. But we also know others who look much skinnier, but they're almost like skinny fat people, and they end up getting conditions down the road. So looking at all this, whether it's the criteria for metabolic syndrome or whether it's the Reynolds risk score, looking at all of that can help you figure out the risk. I've been really fortunate in the last couple of years to be out here at Metagenics getting to do some research. And one of the programs that one of my colleagues, Bob Lehrman, who's our director of medicine, has done a lot of work with is looking at metabolic syndrome. And we did a study called HOPS and Metabolic Syndrome 3, or HMS-3, which we completed and wrote an article about in the Journal of Nutrition and Metabolism. Well, actually, the journal itself is called Nutrition and Metabolism. There's another one called Journal of. This is just Nutrition and Metabolism. And Bob wrote this up last year about the benefits of a medical food with soy, beta-sitosterol, and some of our favorite molecules, a hops molecule and an acacia molecule. Acacia comes from the gum arabic tree. It's another botanical extract for reducing the risk for cardiovascular disease and metabolic syndrome. And we wrote that up last year. And in the last year, Bob's been heading up a multi-centered trial at the University of Connecticut, the University of Florida, and the University of California, Irvine, where we've been working with clinicians and nutritionists in those programs to come up with the same study. And that study has just closed, meaning it's just finished. And I hear that the preliminary results really do confirm that this medical food called Ultrameal Plus works really well for reducing the risk for cardiometabolic syndrome. Work that I've been really excited about doing this past year is we're using ultrasound and a technique called flow-mediated vasodilation, looking at how well that vessel responds to flow to kind of see if we can find good nutraceuticals for addressing those earliest stages. Because as we talked about, that preclinical disease is really an important opportunity to get involved. Because one of the things we talked about at the front of the hour and didn't say a lot about since then is regression. We've talked about how it builds up slowly over time, but there's a lot of evidence that demonstrates that if you take care of your vessels, you can reduce the oxidative stress, you can improve the function of the nitric oxide and how much it will relax, and you can make some of the plaques actually go away. Dean Ornish, for example, showed in a classic study years ago that if you get your LDL cholesterol below 100, plaques in your coronary vessels will actually shrink over time.
Well, that's good news for people who are dealing with plaques. I mean, I get that question all the time. Is this something that can be reversed? And knowing that the wisdom of the body, if you put the right circumstances into play, there is evidence that plaques can actually be reversed, which is great news. So some of the new research you're doing with the flow-mediated measurements, that's also looking at how that endothelial function is operating, correct?
Absolutely. Yep. That's the whole purpose.
Yep.
To see if there's nutrients that can take the very early subtle changes in that process and correct them.
Now, maybe, sorry to interrupt. Maybe,
no, go ahead.
I just want to, maybe you can talk just for, we have about a minute left, but just a brief explanation of what a medical food is and how people incorporate that. I mean, it's incorporated with other aspects of a healthy diet, and the medical food is a way to explain the concept of a medical food.
Well, a medical food is a nutrient that typically has some macronutrient content to it as well. So it provides you some calories. It provides you like quality protein, in this case, protein from soy. And soy has an FDA-approved heart health claim. So if a serving of soy a day helps reduce heart disease, it has other compounds like phytosterols, like beta-cytosterol, which is a molecule that helps kind of a plant-based molecule that blocks the absorption of cholesterol, for example. And it provides a whole range of nutrients that maybe you wouldn't be able to get by your diet alone.
Right.
So it's an adjunct to your diet for dealing with certain conditions.
Great.
And medical foods can be specifically indicated for claims. And so Ultrameal Plus 360, the product that I was talking about, specifically has a claim that it's indicated for the management of metabolic syndrome.
That's great. So excellent information. Dr. Lamb, thank you again so much for being a guest on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here this morning.
Excellent. Well, hopefully you all got some great information out of the show today. Don't forget to tune in next Thursday, 9 a.m. Dana Lake will be back with another great show. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living.
At Village Green Apothecary, they've created a unique free program called the Essentials of Healthy Living, or EHL for short. EHL helps you develop a customized plan to take the guesswork out of which supplements you need. Visit their Bethesda location at 5415 West Cedar Lane and check out their easy-to-use EHL display. You can get free information cards about your health needs, from chronic ailments to heart health, allergies, or dietary issues. You'll find EHL information.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenetics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary. Did you know the average American consumes 135 pounds of sugar a year? Get the lowdown on sugar and the natural support of GlucoCare from Himalaya Herbal Healthcare. GlucoCare has been clinically proven to maintain blood sugar levels within normal range. It also supports normal triglycerides and cholesterol levels and normally functioning cells of the pancreas. Get the lowdown on sugar and reach for all-natural GlucoCare by Himalaya Herbal Healthcare, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Overwhelmed, overstressed, overworked, overeating, overindulging. Tis the season to overdo. Protect yourself and your family with TwinLab Immunity Booster, Multivitamins, and Stress B Complex. TwinLab vitamins and minerals can help your family stay healthy, even when they're not acting healthy. Protect your family with TwinLab, the most trusted name in vitamins. TwinLab vitamins are available at all Better Health and Natural Food stores.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is hot plants. The natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, developed by Chris Killam, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from Enzymatic Therapy. Hot Plants from the Science of Enzymatic Therapy. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.